Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipmates, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at Facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Is the emotional factor. You folks do understand that. It's not the rational basis on which we sit down and we do a, you know, we do a pro and con sheet on each candidate, and then we make a list of those things that we like about them and those things that are our strengths, and then we take on the other side and those things that are weaknesses. Now, we don't do that. We just don't do that. Most voters don't do that. They go, what's the letter after their name, R, D, or I? But mostly it's R, D. All right, well, so they've already, you know, got certain percentage of my vote. You know, there's the likelihood of my voting for them is X percent because they're an R or D. And then it's about, okay, which one best reflects what? My values, my personal beliefs. And then it becomes very personal, which makes it emotional. That's what makes it emotional because, you know, when you're in the voting booth, that's a relationship. You have a relationship at that point with that candidate. And then you're emotionally investing in them. When you, however you do it, whether it's a punch card or you fill in a place, well, however you do it in your voting booth, you know, at that point, now you've got a relationship with them. Whether you're recognizing it as being that way or not, it is true. And then, so you're emotionally involved. And so in the primary, and we, you know, again, we're not going to have a primary. We didn't, in 08 either. We didn't have a primary then either. We did, but Obama didn't participate in the Michigan primary. So, you know, it's, you know, you have a relationship with a candidate. And you just kind of deal with that the way you deal with it. Anyway, in the next hour, Mark Brewer will be with us, and we've got more time for open lines. We will be giving away more tickets to Stephanie Miller's Sexily Liberal Tour on this Saturday. If you want to go to the after party, of course, you need to RSVP via email. We'll have your name at the door. You can pay at the door. It's $20 per person. Proceeds go to Planned Parenthood advocacy efforts. All right, Tony@thetonyshow.org, Tony@thetonyshow.org, if you want to go on Saturday night to the after party. So hang out. We're going to take a break here. Russ is coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is Michigan's only progressive talk show, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got an accident out there. 94 east and westbound at Telegraph. The left shoulder is blocked in both directions because of a spin out in the center median. Also, some slowdowns out of southbound from around 14 mile down to 696. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, looking at a very slight chance for a shower before 2 p.m., partly sunny otherwise, a high right around 79. Some breezy winds out of the north as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61, and then tomorrow, sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Currently, it's fair and 64 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Truppiano coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, President Obama is headed to the upper Midwest today to talk about his plans for getting more Americans back to work. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Washington with a preview. Bob.
Well, Bill, it's a campaign-style bus trip starting in Minnesota, including a town hall meeting in Cannon Falls. Republicans criticize it as taxpayer-funded re-election events. In his weekly address, the president previewed what he'll be pushing.
Things Congress can do right now to get more money back in your pockets, get this economy growing faster,
and get our friends and neighbors back to work.
They are ideas Mr. Obama has put forth already, including extending payroll tax deductions and unemployment benefits. Some Democrats quietly wish he'd offer more, but the initial ideas have met with Republican resistance. Bill?
The Republican presidential field is smaller after Tim Pawlenty dropped out of the race Sunday. Texas Governor Rick Perry got in Saturday. On the same day, Michelle Bachmann won the Iowa straw poll. CNN's Pete Hanby says Perry is getting his message across in Iowa.
He hit all the right notes, you know, that a Republican candidate should be hitting right now. He went hard after President Obama, and he also touted a really strong jobs record in Texas.
The Indiana State Fair will reopen today with a memorial service for the five people who died when a stage collapsed during a storm. Jenna Joy was there, and she tells us what it was like.
It was absolute pandemonium in a mob kind of sense of people trying to get out of the grandstand because of the shock of the weather and what had just happened.
At least 69 people were killed in more than a dozen bombings and shootings in Iraq today. This was the worst wave of violence in Iraq in months. Some major merger news this morning. Google says it plans to buy mobile phone maker Motorola for $12.5 billion. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
I'm in the I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A big acquisition announcement this hour, which could mean a seismic shift in the business of mobile devices. Google announcing it has agreed to purchase Motorola Mobility, the company behind all Motorola smartphones and tablets, for $12.5 billion. It's Google's first foray into mobile hardware. Of course, it is the company behind the Android mobile operating system. Google says Android will remain an open platform for other mobile device makers. This news is helping support higher stock futures. S&P futures gaining 5, NASDAQ futures up 10, Dow futures up more than 30. Walmart, which spent much of the past half decade sprucing up stores and trying to go more chic, is now backtracking to its bread and butter business, low prices, after that whole chic thing proved unprofitable. But its prices are still not low enough to get many of its former customers back. Research by Avondale Partners finds the most common back-to-school items are 10% cheaper at Dollar General and Family Dollar than at Walmart. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions. Because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
I'm in the, I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because
and there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
But I think this is a challenge. Y'all don't shut up, I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano back with you in the third and final hour of this Monday First Shift program. I want to thank you for punching in with us today and every day. And we've had a lively conversation. We'll continue it as we're open lines at the bottom of the hour. Lots of good stuff to do in this hour. We have more tickets to give away. To Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Tour, which will be in Detroit on Saturday. Of course, you can listen to Stephanie Miller every day right after First Shift right here on 1310 WDTW. We also have our caption contest going on the Facebook page. If you want to, and we're going to pick that winner, by the way, in about 40 minutes. So if you want to get in on that, you've got to go to the First Shift page on Facebook and caption the picture of Michelle Bachmann that's there. And we got a lot of other stuff to get to, but let us get to our guest who we have waiting online. Go ahead and let's do that. Need that open, Todd. All right, apparently we're having some technical difficulties, so we'll welcome back to First Shift as he joins us every Monday at this time. The chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. Captain, my captain, how are you?
Doing well, Tony. Doing very well. Thank you.
You know, been an interesting week since we last talked, and I really do want to spend some time, although we certainly discussed it on Friday. This is a conversation that bears repeating, especially from the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. We've got another name in the battle for the Republican in the Republican Party to unseat or to try to unseat Debbie Stabenow. Clark Durant's the name that comes to mind, Mark. Listen, all, you know, the gloves are off. This is going to get ugly.
Oh, I think that's right, Tony. Last Thursday night, Betsy DeVos, who we all know, you know, can basically fund a campaign by herself. And in fact, her husband did so in 06, even though he lost. Saul Anousis, former chair of the Republican Party, and Spence Abraham, also former chair of the Republican Party, former senator, very close to John Engler, all endorsed Clark Durant for Senate in a letter which was basically critical of Pete Hoekstra. They didn't mention him by name, but it was very clear they were talking about Pete Hoekstra. So, yes, the gloves are off. I think it's going to be a very vigorous Republican primary.
Well, you know, Mark, you've been a political strategist for a lot of years now. You understand this game better than most ever will. I thought that the timing was kind of interesting because we had just been told 10 days earlier to Clark Durant getting into this race that Pete Hoekstra at least led us to believe that it was the established Republican Party that kind of forced him into this decision to run. So where's the truth here, Mark?
Well, obviously, that's not true. That's not true. I mean, I think Hoekstra was trying to make it look like that was the case. He had organized some endorsement events, but I think the response by those three last week indicates that that is not the case. And what you're going to have here, Tony, is a battle between the right wing of the Republican Party and the far right wing of the Republican Party. And if Hoekstra is going to prevail, he's going to have to get even more conservative, kowtow even more to the Tea Party and to the right wing of the Republican Party than he has already in the last couple years.
Well, that does make this quite interesting. And of course, as we discussed last week, you know, the Republicans are going to spend a lot of money on this race, this primary. They're going to spend a lot of money on this. And you're right. Betsy DeVos can write a check. That's not an issue. She certainly knows the right people. Listen, Saul Anousis, who I think is the last Republican Party chair that actually agreed to debate you, he can raise money. We know Spence Abraham can raise money. If I were a betting guy, I would say Clark Durant's probably got this thing sewn up. Now, I realize we got a whole year before we have that primary, but we're now talking, Mark, probably record amounts of money Republicans are going to have to raise just to figure out which Republican is going to go against Debbie Stabenow, who's raising a whole lot of money herself.
I think that's right, Tony. I mean, this is going to be another example of the United case is such a terrible thing. I mean, literally, Tony, in this race, Betsy DeVos or Amway could go out and set up their own PAC, fund it with corporate money, and that would be the only money that would have to be spent electing Clark Durant. Literally, that's what could be done. Now, whether that will happen, we'll see. But that's the kind of abuse that this Citizens United case has opened up, that you can have these outside groups, these outside corporations, Amway, whoever, funding these races and basically, you know, buying a Senate spot or at least a Senate nomination for their favorite candidate.
All right. So, but Mark, you know, part of the question here, and I think it needs to be asked, is, you know, what is it about Pete Hoekstra that mainstream members or maybe not so mainstream members of the state Republican Party are so opposed that they went out and got this guy and Clark Durant? What is it about Pete Hoekstra they find so distasteful?
Well, I think there's several things, Tony. I mean, first of all, he's actually served in Congress. This letter that they issued last week talked about him being a Washington insider. He voted for the rescue of the Wall Street banks, the so-called TARP fund, which George Bush wanted him to vote for, and he did. So you're going to see Clark Durant and the Tea Party folks come after Pete Hoekstra on these things. I might note, it's interesting, though, that Clark Durant himself was the beneficiary of a government bailout. He was an investor in one of those failed savings and loans back in the 80s, which the federal government bailed out, and Clark Durant was a beneficiary of that. So there's going to be plenty of hypocrisy, as always, in these Republican primaries, but those are the kinds of issues they're going to come after Pete Hoekstra on.
Well, this could get really, really ugly and very, very interesting. Of course, the Hoekstra camp's not going to comment on this, and if they are, it's going to be all very polite. We welcome the challenge and the opportunity to discuss issues that are important to Michiganders, blah, 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 blah. But, Mark, when I saw this on Thursday morning, somebody had sent me an email that this was actually going to happen. I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised. I really was. And I guess at some level, shame on me for believing that, you know, the Republican Party was going to back Hoekstra. But sure enough, that's not going to, well, I shouldn't say the Republican Party. Bobby Shostak, of course, says nothing. And I can continue to call them every Wednesday to try to get him on the show with you, and they just absolutely don't take my calls. He's going to stay quiet on this, of course. He has to. But, Mark, this is going to be really entertaining, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah, Tony. And this is part of an ongoing, long-time feud in the Republican Party. Betsy DeVos, Dick DeVos, backed Mike Cox for governor last year over Pete Hoekstra, you know, a fellow West Michiganian. So, you know, this is ongoing. There's something really personal here that, you know, these folks just can't get along. They don't like each other. And this is just another manifestation of all of that. You know, now with Spence Abraham and Saul Anousis being added into the mix as well. So I think it is going to be very ugly. I think it is going to be very expensive. And we'll just have to watch and see.
Well, as I suggested on Friday, and perhaps I suggested this last Monday when you were with us, Mark, let the Republicans go out and spend all the money they want beating each other up. It just makes it that much easier for us once we get beyond the primary into the general election with Senator Stabenow. Because, Mark, they're going to be forced to run against each other. They're not going to be able to just run against Debbie Stabenow.
Oh, no, that's right, Tony. Now, all the things that are going to play out, I mean, we've got the so-called super committee. You're going to hear Hoekstra and Durant taking very extreme positions in terms of the super committee, the Ryan budget. I mean, you name the issue over the next year, they will now compete to see who can be the most extreme right-winger on that particular issue in order to appeal to that Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, that will frankly hurt them in a general election where the voters are not any longer, if they ever were, enamored of the Tea Party. The Tea Party is less and less popular, and people don't like those extreme positions that we're going to hear in the Republican primary.
Well, you know, and interestingly, of course, coming off the Ames straw poll this weekend, Mark, very quickly before we get to the break here, just want you to comment on Michelle Bachmann's faux victory this weekend. I obviously don't think it means a whole hill of beans. You know, at the end of the day, we know historically what happens to the winner of the straw poll, but your thoughts on her winning?
Well, basically, Tony, look, this poll is nothing more than who can buy the most votes. Michelle Bachmann handed out 6,000 free tickets, and you got to buy a ticket to vote in this poll. So this is the most absurd thing you can imagine. It's not a poll. It doesn't reflect reality. It's basically who can buy the most votes, who, you know. And so if that's what Michelle Bachmann is proud of doing, buying the most votes, let her have it.
You're right. Perfect way to put it. No question. Well, it's been interesting. We have we've been talking this morning, Mark, about the Republicans being hell-bent on having a primary in 2012. We've been asking the question to the audience, if you were to vote as a Democrat in the Republican primary, who would you vote for? Most people are finding it distasteful to even think about, even in a primary, voting for a Republican. So I don't see that that's going to happen. And, Mark, they are hell-bent on having this primary, after all, are they not?
Yeah, they do seem to be, Tony. They voted on Saturday to hold this primary. And, again, you know, we're not going to participate in it. We're holding a caucus next May. So we're going to waste $10 million in taxpayer money to hold basically a private election for the Republicans.
Yeah,
okay. $10 million, Tony, could hire a lot of teachers, a lot of firefighters, a lot of police. That's not going to get wasted on this private election.
Now, that's an important point to make. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Stay with me. We'll take a break. A lot more to get to on the other side of this. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, chance of a shower before 2 o'clock, partly sunny otherwise. It's looking pretty good right now, obviously. A high near 79, some breezy winds over the north as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the lower 60s, and then tomorrow, sunny, a high right around 82 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 66 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Triviano coming up after this.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come.
Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. MichiganDems.com is the website. Mark, the president was in Kalamazoo this past week. I thought was a pretty commanding speech he gave at the Johnson Control Plant. Obviously an example, Mark, of what happens when the government and the private sector decide to partner and work together. Yet the Republicans in the state of Michigan don't so much like that program, Mark. So let's talk a little bit about the president's trip here and a little bit about what are the Republicans in the state are doing that they just don't seem to get that partnership.
Well, it really is terrible, Tony. This is an example of something we actually talked about last week. This plant out there is the result of, like you said, a private-public partnership. Governor Granholm and her administration played a role and tax incentives for it. There have been federal tax incentives as well. And so what are we seeing? We're seeing a growing industry, this auto battery industry here in Michigan, that the president was celebrating last week. And the program that helped that create that factory was destroyed, deleted, ended by Rick Snyder. So it's a clear example of their priorities versus our priorities. A good public-private partnership that is producing good-paying jobs for the people of Michigan. Democrats support it. Republicans oppose it.
Well, you know, Mark, when we take a look at, I know that there is a company in Brighton, and I don't remember the name, but they're moving to Indiana because we no longer offer tax incentives. And I have to think that, you know, we were told that this new budget that the governor put together would almost would create a line of businesses because of a new corporate tax structure that they'd be waiting in line to get in to set up a business here. We've lost somewhere over 16, 17,000 jobs since this governor's taken office. They've eliminated tax incentives at the state level. And so, you know, we talk, you know, the Republicans are always trying to tell us Democrats don't have a plan. I don't know what the Republican plan is, Mark, and I don't claim to know it all. So if you know what their plan is, would you please share it with me and my audience?
Well, I mean, basically what it is, Tony, we are embarked on this huge experiment that even the governor and all his folks were not willing to guarantee would create a job. We're basically unilaterally disarming. We're getting rid of these incentive programs. And I can tell you that the jobs that have been created in Michigan over the last several months were either the result of the legacy of Governor Granholm, or they have been coming out of the auto industry, which, of course, Barack Obama took an enormous political risk in rescuing. Those two sectors have been generating jobs. And those are the two sectors the Republicans say we never should have rescued. We never should have assisted. Their approach is, you know, this huge corporate tax shift, $2 billion, West being paid by CEOs, big corporations in this state, and you and I pick up the slack, I pay more taxes and get reduced services without any guarantee that it's going to work. All the evidence from other states indicates that it's not going to work. And matter of fact, in the last 2 months, Tony, since the budget was enacted, Michigan's unemployment rate has actually gone up. So we're all waiting to see whether this is going to work, but the early returns are not good at all.
Yeah, they're not good. And, of course, that doesn't help. We had a guy call the show earlier today, Mark, was unemployed for a couple of years up till 2007, got a job, got laid off again in 2009, still can't find a job. Mark, that is not a story that's unique to him, unfortunately. The state of Michigan, especially Southeast Michigan, continues to see high unemployment. Our minority communities are seeing perhaps record numbers in unemployment. And at some point, this legislature and this governor must start to create jobs, Mark. We need jobs.
Oh, absolutely. It should be their top priority. But you had Governor Snyder last spring saying things, well, I'm going to worry about creating jobs next year. That this year we're going to balance the budget, make these terrible cuts to public education and public services, do this tax shift. That's going to be our focus this year, and we'll worry about jobs next year. And he's got it exactly backwards.
Yeah, but Mark, he's also threatened that if the state workers don't do as he asks, he's going to fire a bunch of state workers, creating more unemployment.
Oh, that's exactly right, Tony. And we're starting to see unemployment resulting from the budget decisions he made earlier this year. And police and firefighters being laid off around the state. We're about to start the new school year with, I think, thousands fewer teachers employed than we saw last year because of the hundreds of millions of dollars that Snyder cut out of education. So, no, he's very actively, frankly, the impact of his policies are eliminating jobs, cutting employment, not creating jobs.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when they come back to work. And by the way, it's a little overdue, but when they come back to work, I'm going to guess, Mark, we're not going to see a lot of jobs legislation beginning of September, but I'll keep an open mind, but I don't see it happening. Hey, listen, real quick before we let you go today, there was a study that came out. The people that are responsible for Rock the Vote did a poll and said that Michigan is among the worst states in encouraging young people to vote. Now, Mark, I'm not picking on you or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party for that matter, but why would that be?
Well, Tony, there's all these kind of structural things that you can do to encourage young people to vote. For example, you can make voter registration easier. You can let people register to vote on election day. You can let people vote by absentee without restriction. And Democrats, for years, we have pushed that. We've passed it through the state house. When we were in control of the state house, but the Republicans have adamantly refused to entertain any of that legislation. That's the kind of structural impediments that the Rock the Vote study pointed to. You know, many other states have these, Tony. Many Republican-run states have these ways of making voting easier. But here, the Republicans refuse to allow any of it.
All right. Well, again, Mark, I just don't understand. You know, we have to move with the times. There's no question that's true, and certainly the party has done that. You know, the Michigan Democratic Party has done that. You know, social media has become, you know, really the bedrock of the way you communicate with your base now, which is wonderful. You know, the Republican Party has even done that at some level. Why would they stop? Why would they stop short of making sure that more people get a chance to vote? Do they not want people to vote, Mark?
That's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, their belief is, and I think it's wrong, that, you know, if you let young people vote, you encourage minorities and others to vote, those are just Democrats. And they are deathly afraid that, you know, the real majority in this state is Democratic. So they try everything they can to suppress the vote, to discourage voting, to these kind of tactics. In other words, gerrymandering the districts, do everything they can so that the minority party in this state, the Republican Party, continues to have power.
Well, you know, very quickly before we let you go, of course, the governor signed the redistricting legislation on last Tuesday, I believe it was, and there's been some talk about a legal challenge. I don't know that that's been decided or not yet, Mark. This sure has created a mess for Democrats, has it not? Actually, even for a lot of Republicans.
Basically, for the voters, Tony. We've made no decision. We're taking a hard look at a lawsuit. But again, it's the voters who are being disturbed here. voters should be able to elect their representatives, not vice versa, and that's exactly what these masks do.
All right. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Monday. There's never a lack of things to talk about. MichiganDems.com is the website. Until then, Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. The chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. We are open lines. When we come back, we've got one more set of Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Tour tickets to give away. We'll talk about the after party. We will pick a winner for the caption contest as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got some slowdowns out there. 75 southbound between 696 and 9 Mile. Also, 696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield Road. You're going to find some delays there, too.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny. Partly sunny anyway. A high near 79. Chance of a shower in there, too. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low around 61. And then tomorrow, sunny. A high near 82 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 66 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up after this.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions. Because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Communications Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers have filed unfair labor practice charges against Verizon, charging that the company has refused to bargain in good faith. The unions want the NLRB to immediately order Verizon to negotiate in good faith as labor law requires. Some 45,000 CWA and IBEW Verizon workers have been on strike since August 7th. The highly profitable Verizon is demanding $1 billion in concessions, $20,000 per working family there. Verizon has gotten court injunctions in several states that limit picketing. Bill Huber is business manager of IBEW Local 827, one of the striking locals at Verizon.
It's clear to myself and the other leaders of the unions that what Verizon is attempting to do is just break the unions.
Huber says Verizon is not merely asking for a bigger contribution to health care costs. It's gutting 50 years of collective bargaining gains. And he says the American public should rally to the strikers' cause. Why? Because it's a battle in defense of the American middle class.
They're not interested in bargaining with us. They're not interested in compromise. They're interested in gutting. We're just on a path to destroy middle America. We need the public to reach out to their politicians and stop greedy companies like Verizon that make significant money here. Stop them from breaking the back of the middle class America. Because if they win, if they're successful at this, the United States, we're down the tubes. Because everybody else is going to follow this pattern.
The U.S. Postal Service is urging Congress to gut collective bargaining rights for postal workers so 120,000 workers can be laid off. The Postal Service cites a huge $8 billion deficit as the motive for its attack on workers, but a congressional mandate enacted in the Bush administration forces the Postal Service to pre-fund 75 years' worth of retiree health benefits. That mandate alone costs $5.5 billion a year, and it's imposed only on the Postal Service. Lifting that mandate, or allowing pension surpluses to be applied to those retiree health benefits, would wipe out the deficit and avoid the massive layoffs. Sally Davidow is a spokesperson for the American Postal Workers Union. She says this big lie that the postal deficit is a result of union workers is an effort to use the cover of a crisis for hostile action against workers, with privatization of the Postal Service the possible ultimate goal.
Certainly for some of these ultra-right-wing congressmen, I do think that is the goal. Clearly an attempt to take a crisis and try and use it to advance an ideological agenda that's hostile to workers. The same law that implemented the pre-funding requirement said the Postal Service could not raise prices over the rate of inflation. If you say they can't raise prices and then you give them a $5.5 billion bill every single year for 10 years, what's the effect going to be? It's going to destroy the Postal Service.
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company, and by OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work
with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. We do have some calls to get to. I need a little information on the caller, though, guys. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. The question we've been asking earlier in the show, and we'll throw it out there again, if the Republicans do end up with a primary in February of 2012, you will be allowed to vote in it as a Democrat. Who would you vote for and why? Would it be to perhaps ensure that you'd get the candidate you'd want the president to run against or somebody weaker? And do you think that there's an ethical issue? I'm going to get to an email that Eric at Michigan Liberal sent me because I thought that he put it pretty perfectly, although I'm having trouble. Oh, there it goes. It wasn't showing up, but it's there now. So I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Also, if we are going to give away one more set of tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show in this half hour, so you need to call us to get in on that. And third, we will be picking a winner for the caption contest. Those of you that are posting repeatedly, that's not working in your favor at this point, okay? So chill a little bit. But we will pick a winner, and of course, the caption contest, you're going to win a couple travel mugs, some bumper stickers, and a pen, a First Shift pen, and we'll get to all of that. But let's go to the phones and welcome Kyle in Redford. Kyle, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
All right, good morning, Tony. Hey, I was just thinking about, you had somebody mentioned earlier about the Republican primary, if there is one, that we probably shouldn't vote in it.
Yes.
As voters, we have every right to vote in it.
Oh, of course we do. I mean, that's yeah. The whole point. And to me, it's about strategy.
Yeah, and I certainly think that I'll probably vote in it, and I'm certain that I'll probably vote for a weaker candidate given the fumbles that President Obama's had lately.
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, we've got to, and I try to keep this in context, we have a year, over a year before the general election, of course, and a year before much of this will matter for most of us. But
A lot can happen.
It can happen next week. I mean, this is politics, Kyle, so it could happen later this afternoon. Who knows? because that is just the honest to God reality. Let me thank you for the call. I do appreciate the call, Kyle. Let me read the email from Eric from Michigan Liberal. He said, I voted in the Republican primary last year for Rick Snyder. I voted in the Republican primary because the election was going to settle not just who ran for the GOP in November, but who would also represent me in the state Senate and who would challenge my preferred Democratic candidate in the state House race. I picked the weaker of the two, who might well have lost the district. In 2008, I voted for Ron Paul. First, it was a pox on all their houses vote for the flummoxed presidential primary, i.e., it was an election on the D side akin to a banana republic. Then I picked the craziest Republican possible in hopes that he might eventually run as an independent. I have no problem crossing over in the August primary because it decides a lot of local races in the presidential primary. I'll cross over if I think it's a good strategy. Brilliantly put, Eric. Brilliantly put. Let us go back to the phones and welcome Roger in Garden City. Roger, welcome to First Shift. Good morning to you.
Hey, Tony, it's great to talk to you. You're just super at educating the people. You make a difference, so keep on doing what
you're
doing.
Well, thank you, Roger.
My thoughts on the primary, you know, we got this guy that's running for president in my district, Thaddeus McCotter.
Uh-huh.
He plays the guitar, and, you know, I don't know if he can sing or not, but I think he should go get a wig at the big wig shop, a long hair one. Put it on, run around, campaign, and pretend he's Ron Wood or Keith Richards. Because, you know, the crazier these Republicans are, the people love them, you know? You know, especially the religious radical nuts. You got this guy, Mitt Romney, running around with his dog on top of the car with an open cage. Now, how weird is that? I mean, that is a weirdo.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on out there, Roger. I don't pretend to understand it all, but there's definitely some crazy stuff going on out there.
Well, maybe if Thaddeus puts on some leotards and pretends he's part of the Rolling Stones and jump around on his campaign trail while he can attract some attention, that would be the weakest candidate. I don't know where the hell he ever thought he was presidential, but these Republicans are all a bunch of weird, really weirdos, Tony. I'm telling you, I don't understand it, but you're doing a good job of educating people about the extreme right wing of the Republican Party. They're all extremists. They call me a liberal. I call them radicals.
Now, I'm happy to be a liberal. I have no problem with that at all. Roger, thank you so much for the call. I have no problem being a liberal. I'm proud to be a liberal, no question. Let us go to Dewan in Detroit and see what he's got to say. Dewan, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'm going to agree with one of the previous callers that said they'd go for Herman Cain because, you know, I would like to see them pull out the color aspect of that candidate. And then one of my main reasons for calling was I just was kind of struck by the 26 states that are going against Obamacare. And a reason for saying that it's unconstitutional is because they say that it's illegal to charge anyone for insurance, you know, any rate for insurance from the day that they are born to the day that they die. Well, then how is it okay that they charge us auto insurance?
Oh, it's not constitutional, Dewan. It's just conversation, and they're just blowing, you know, listen, they're just blowing smoke. There's nothing unconstitutional about Obamacare at all. In fact, it doesn't go far enough as far as I'm concerned. But listen, this is just another attempt by the Republicans to stop something. They can scream socialism all day long. If it were to be benefiting them in some way, they'd be all over it. They just don't like it because it takes money out of their pockets. Dewan, that's the only reason they don't like it.
And I agree with that, but it's just, I don't understand why we as Democrats or liberals don't just state the facts when it comes to these debates and arguments and all of the stuff that's going on. There's too much posturing with, you know, just the enemy as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's almost like we have some of our Democrats in people's pockets.
Now, I appreciate the phone call, Dewan, and I hope that you'll call back again sometime. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Let us go and welcome Zach in Detroit to First Shift. Zach, welcome aboard. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm not sure why the Democrats don't call the Republicans out on this fact, but the Republicans are always saying you need to have low taxes, you need to have less regulation in order for companies to hire. Well, General Electric pays zero taxes. And they keep outsourcing jobs. So why don't they call them out on that? You can't get lower than zero taxes.
That is true. You cannot get lower than zero taxes. You know, Zach, I was listening to the debate on Thursday night, and Republican after Republican after Republican kept on talking about how high our taxes are. And historically, they're as low as they've been since 1955. And so, again, it's just they're lies, Zach. They're lies. The Republicans continue to lie about our tax base.
So why aren't the Democrats calling them out on that, running on that?
I don't know. I mean, I do it. Why they don't do it is beyond me. I really don't know. You're right. They should be all over this. I agree. Zach, thank you so much for your call. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Joe in Detroit. Joe, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Hey, I guess if I had to vote for a Republican, it'd be Ron Paul for two reasons. One, because I agree with some of his positions, and two, because I don't think there's a chance that he could win.
No, you know what? As a libertarian, and Ron Paul really is more of a libertarian than he is a Republican, there's a lot of stuff that he says that I agree with. Ron Paul saying stuff that needs to be said that nobody else will say. Let me say that first of all. Absolutely, Jonah, for no other reason, it needs to be said. We need to have the discussion. We need to have the dialogue. He does make sense. If you listen to him talk, the man does make sense.
Yeah, except for when it comes to economics.
Thank you. And then it gets a little weird. And then, of course, he's extremely, he's
Ayn Rand.
The Ayn Rand stuff, yeah, absolutely crazy. Hey, Joe, what are you doing Saturday night?
Hopefully going to Stephanie Miller.
You are. So if I can put you on hold, they're going to get your name, and you've just won two tickets. All right. So we'll get to that. I loved Zach's comment. And I don't, does this go back to the messaging comment? And that's the question that I really have, and I'm going to put some serious consideration to this. But let's think for a moment. We talk about Democrats and messaging. Zach asks an excellent question. Why aren't the Republicans going crazy? Now, I didn't get a chance and haven't, and I probably won't have a chance to get to, and maybe I will in the next segment, some of the response from the Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. She certainly addresses some of what happens in Ames, Iowa. But they do need to be, and I've heard her specifically dialogue about historically low tax rates, but we're not doing it consistently enough. We're not delivering it in the way we, of course, need to deliver that message as profoundly, as proficiently as we should. Does that make sense to all of you? So I don't know if that's a messaging issue, or they're just saying, hey, we're too far out, it's not going to matter, it's not going to be an issue. I'm not one of those people that buys into that theory. You know, I realize that between now and Election Day in November of 2012, there are going to be a myriad of issues that we're going to deal with. But some of them will be mainstays. The economy will be a mainstay. Taxes will be a mainstay. You know, get on those talking points now. Facts, facts, and stick to those facts now. All right? Gene and Don, you guys are up next. Stay where you're at. We've got the caption winner on the other side of this. And we'll wrap up today's show. I am Tony Truppiano. It's been an amazing morning. I want to thank all of you for being with us. Again, the number if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Triano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Collect your rewards when you play at MGM Grand Detroit. From July 11th through the 29th, play, earn, collect, win during the Collect and Win Free Play promotion. It's as simple as playing your favorite slots and earning 100 points Monday at 10 a.m. through Friday at 10 p.m. each week. Then swipe at any promotional kiosk for your chance to collect all four virtual M-Life Players Club cards and win $25 in free play. Keep playing each week to collect and win. See M-Life Players Club for more details.
MGM Grand Detroit.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff for First Shift, the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and man, the day's gone by fast. Let me get to the callers. We've got the winner of the caption contest. We got to talk about the after party. We got a lot to do before we get out of here. So let's welcome Gene in Dearborn to First Shift. And Gene, welcome aboard. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, first off, I actually went to Iowa State University at Ames, Iowa, and I'm a Democrat, and I didn't vote for Obama, and I wouldn't vote for him again. On this crossover thing, my question to you is, what if both sides did this? There'd be a race to the bottom for the worst candidate in both parties. This actually happened in Georgia, and the consequences was Lester Maddox was elected as governor there. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, listen, I think I've made my thoughts clear on this. Gene, thank you for your call. I don't have a problem with the crossover. I think that strategically it is a fair game. It's legal. I don't believe it's unethical. I think Eric, who I read his email a little bit earlier, in this hour, said it perfectly, because this involves local races, and there are a lot of reasons to do it, and I think a lot of good strategic reasons to do it. So, you know, and in order to not have to repeat myself, but Gene, I appreciate the call.
I don't agree with the race to the bottom thing. If Democrats are choosing the most Democratic Republican and Republicans are choosing the most Republican-ish Democrat, then it's almost a race to the moderate, which is what we all would want anyway, right?
Yeah, and it's a matter of really perspective, because, you know, Gene sees it one way. See, you see it differently, and I see it differently yet. So I don't believe it's a race to the bottom. It'd be a race to the bottom if there were a coordinated effort to make it that, but there wouldn't be, Jeff.
You know, I agree.
There just wouldn't be. All right, let's get one more call in here, and welcome Don in Detroit. Don, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I believe that it's our responsibility to get to the bottom of the truth. And this whole weekend, they talked about the debt ceiling on the talking heads. And we've been off the gold standard since Nixon's administration. And we're on a credit system. There was no reason for us to raise such a ruckus off the debt when they raised us 8 times during the Bush administration. And 17 times during the Reagan administration. And all of a sudden, when President Obama's asking them to cooperate, the Republicans and those freshman Tea Party refused to cooperate in raising the debt ceiling, and they still gave him what he wanted 13 months before they have to look at the issue. He got what he wanted out of the deal the president did. So what they've done is created this super committee of 12 Congress
members
senators.
Of Congress, right?
Yeah, and I think that is going to be the most craziest thing that they could have ever done, up or down vote and cross the board cuts. Because if you notice, all those no big contracts that they instituted in 2000, in 2001, under the Bush administration, went to Republican friends for the war in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, and Don, we're gonna talk tomorrow. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're almost running out of time here. We're gonna talk in more detail tomorrow about this super Congress. I hate that phrase, but we're gonna talk a little bit more in depth about that. So you'll want to stay tuned for the show tomorrow. All right, we've got to take care of some business. Let me first of all, do you guys have a winner before we go forward, Jeff?
Yeah, it's really tough. It really is. There's so many good submissions, and if you want to see, I mean, go to our Facebook page, 50-plus comments. Unbelievable. We actually have a top three because we have been debating so long about which one we like the most, and I guess if you want to do it in, you know, 3-2-1, or do you just want to hear the winner?
No, we'll do 3-2-1. Let me just, just tell you that I just hope that the results aren't hard to swallow.
Nice.
I had to get that in there. All right, go ahead. Give me the 3-2-1. The third in line, which wins nothing, is...
Oh, geez, I just lost it.
Oh, stop it.
Wait a minute. Anyway... It had something to do with...
Oh, come on!
How can I do this? Because I found the other two, but where is the other? Where's the Sharpie one? Oh, here it is. I put a Sharpie mark where I stopped, Sarah. Your turn. That was number three. That one's really good. I like that one a lot. Number two is garbage in, garbage out.
I love that one, too.
Me, too. But this one's good because it plays on what she says all the time in all her canned responses. And if you look at the picture, it just made me laugh. I don't know. This is the tip of the spear. That's
right.
The one that we like.
All right. So just post on that. The person that won needs to email their address to tony@thetonyshow.org. So go ahead and post that, Jeff, if you would, or Todd, to Facebook so that they send me an email with their address. If no one claims it, then we'll go with our number two answer. But that's what we're going to do. So the tip of the spear, if you will. That was awfully fun, though. No question about it. During the show today, we have picked up 5 likes. I'm digging that. We picked up 15 likes since Friday.
I saw it going up during the show.
Yeah, it's been cool. Yeah, 5 today alone. And 5 over the weekend, so that's actually 10 over the weekend, so that's 15 in the last few days. I'm digging that. All right, very quickly, the after party. Saturday night, and we gave away 2 sets of tickets today, so congratulations to those winners. We'll be giving away some more tickets tomorrow, so just chill. We got plenty of tickets to give away. But don't count on the tickets, the giveaway. If you want to go see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour, buy your tickets, all right? With that said, the after party, which is immediately after the show, $20 a person. We're going to have a nice traveling buffet of food. We're going to have a cash bar. You're going to meet some cool people. And it's a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood advocacy efforts. And we're happy to be engaged. Looking forward to the evening. I know that they're selling a lot of tickets, so it should be a fun night. If you want to RSVP for the after party, send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org to RSVP. You can pay at the door. We'll put your name on a list. You'll get to meet Todd that way. Keep your hands to yourself because he's an awfully sexy guy. See, he has this problem everywhere he goes. People want him, women, men. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know how you do it, Todd. I really don't. By the way, congratulations, Todd, once again, for getting through Specs Howard. And I know graduation's a few weeks down the road, but you are done with your classes now, correct?
I am done. Finito. It is finished.
So you don't need naps anymore, right?
Oh, I still love my naps.
No, I wouldn't go that far down. So anyway, congratulations. Now we need to put Todd to work. If you are somebody that does advertising and would like to advertise on this show, send Todd an email. Let's make sure that I can pay him. Todd@thetonyshow.org. Todd@thetonyshow.org. Very quickly before we get out of here, because we are just out of time, reports coming out of those who make these reports, whoever that would be, the oil-producing people, we should see literally, perhaps a 50-cent drop in gasoline prices over the next 7 to 10 days. 50 cents a gallon. Can you imagine? Let's only hope that that's true. All right, for Jeff and Todd, I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back tomorrow again off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Overall, we're looking good out there on the road. Just some lingering slowdowns on the Southfield Freeway in that construction zone. It's down to one lane. Also, right around the 75-696 interchange, just a couple of taps on your brake if you're traveling through there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Taking a final look at the forecast from the National Weather Service for today. 30% chance of showers before 2 p.m. Partly sunny, a high near 89. Some breezy and gusty winds out of the north as well. Today, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Those winds won't be a problem. Then Tuesday, sunny, a high near 82. Currently, it's fair and 66 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 13.